Okay, listeners, we're back with American Exposé. It's the 30th, and we're dealing with the decisions and directions that are being put in our minds, and it's a sad commentary. And we're talking about Herbert Hoover and the Roosevelt administration. Precursor to that was the Herbert Hoover administration. Did you keep your thoughts in place, Ira?
Oh, yeah.
Please continue.
Well, in 1932, as Herbert Hoover went to, he knew that this, it wasn't either. It was 1928 when he went to Roosevelt and tried to get Franklin D. Roosevelt to accept this program. Franklin D. Roosevelt at the time was the chairman of the Democratic National Committee. And Herbert Hoover was president. And so Herbert Hoover went to Franklin D. Roosevelt and wanted to get the two parties together to enact this program that would, he thought, would stop the Depression that he knew was coming. Well, but Roosevelt flat refused and said no. Well, after Roosevelt won the next election and went into office, and he enacted the same program that Herbert Hoover had outlined to him. All of that socialistic thing that, what it was all about, CCC, they called it, and then all of those others, the WPA, the PWA, the NRA, and I don't know what else. They were just a whole mess of them.
The NRA being the National Recovery Act at the time?
Yeah, that that came through there, too, that National Recovery Act that Congress considered unconstitutional, or the Supreme Court, or one of them did, and got it stopped. That, but there was a whole others that, like I say, there's the WPA, the PWA, the NRA, the that TVA back in Tennessee, where they took a lot of people's property up and down the river there to start this what is now that intercoastal waterway down there, and that goes all the way up to I don't know, probably all the way to New York. They built that thing back during those days, and a whole mess of dams like that generate electricity and all of this, and it went through all this. That's the TVA, the Tennessee Valley Association, is what it was. But all of these things were enacted by executive order by Roosevelt to supposedly combat this depression, to get us back sovereign again. And some folks think that this is what did it, but it wasn't. That all that did was put us under socialism instead of what our forefathers had organized back yonder, see, had set up during the, and it just simply put us under socialism. That's what it did. And transferred this thing and set the stage for the organizing of the United Nations, and that the United States, to force the United States, and what they did, they just starved the people of the United States of America into submission here. And then, of course, you know, Winston Churchill and Roosevelt met on a British cruiser in 1939, I believe it was, right off the coast of Nova Scotia there. And they called it, what is it, the North Atlantic something.
The North Atlantic Treaty, I believe.
Yeah, something like that. Anyhow.
Or alliance.
Yeah, the North Atlantic Alliance or something to that effect. But anyhow, Roosevelt came right back after that meeting and started the draft. Drafting soldiers. Well, in In 1940, at the beginning of, right at the end of 1939, our military force, our army, we only had, about 4,000 troops or something like that. It was just a small army, and that's the way the Constitution says it. According to the Constitution, the Congress can only appropriate money to sustain an army for 2 years, and 2 years at a time. Well, we've been under a wartime situation here since when?
1933?
Yeah, since 1933. I mean, that's when it all happened.
Uh-huh.
And so invariably, all of my life, the first 10 years, I about starved to death. And ever since then, I've been fighting wars.
And,
yeah.
Weird.
It is. And it's just useless. It hasn't accomplished anything, and it, as far as people of this world are concerned, and it's not going to accomplish anything.
My concern about all this is, after all these years, there's so many dumbed down individuals that accept this in our country.
Well, that's true. I don't know, the people that I talk to that brings the subject up, I just very seldom even talk to my neighbors about it. I've heard that there's, if you want to keep a friend, there's three subjects you don't discuss. And, that is money and politics and sex.
Uh-huh.
And, so you stay away from it. And, so I don't talk to my neighbors very much about these things.
Well, you got to keep your neighbors on friendly terms, because they might be able to turn you in about something in the future.
Well, they might be, and it wouldn't surprise me. I mean,
that's where it's come to this point.
Yeah, it's come to that, and did I ask you the other night if you had ever read that George Orwell's book, 1984?
I don't believe you asked me. I don't believe you did. But.
Oh, okay. Well, have you ever read it?
Yes.
Okay. And so the only difference, the only thing wrong with George Orwell's announcements here or whatever,
uh-huh,
is his timing. He had it coming up in 1984, and that was the title of his book.
Right.
Well, the only thing wrong with his presumptions here is the fact that they just happened 20 years late.
Yeah.
We're under that system right now, pretty much.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to say.
Yeah, me too. But, yeah. I mean, let's admit it, because if you've got an enemy, you first got to admit it before you can do anything about him, you know. So
It's an enemy that you can't pinpoint on any one individual at this point.
Well, you
in
can't lay it on any particular individual, no. And it's just something out there that's has been, it's world politics, really. And you look back in history and you find out that all the problems that this world has ever gone through and ever endured had something to do with politics. It was, and we need politicians like we need a hole in our head.
Yeah.
We need statesmen. We need people up front that can arrange and manage these things, but we don't need politicians, Chris.
And we don't need all these lawyers in position of prominence.
No, sir. And we got more lawyers in the United States of America than there is anywhere else all over the rest of the world,
uh-huh,
really.
Uh-huh.
And they're just stumbling over each other to try to find something to do. As a matter of fact, I told this county attorney here in Sawatch County, he said he was threatening to take me to court about something I'd said, and I said, well...
Really?
Yeah. I said, well, I think I can beat you there, because you ain't worth a damn as a lawyer anyway. Well, if you was, you'd be up yonder in Denver someplace making $200 an hour instead of down here working for whatever it is you're working for.
Uh-huh.
But I know Sawatch County can't pay you that much.
Uh-huh.
And so... Instead of a county attorney, you would probably be if you was any good, you'd be a Supreme Court justice or something. So, And, of course, he got kind of upset about that, but he didn't sue me. He didn't carry me to court. So I guess that's a positive thing on that one. So.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's pretty crazy that we've come to this point where the dumb populace,
yeah,
they accept what they're told.
Yeah, now, on that thing about Roosevelt and Hoover,
yeah,
after Roosevelt got in office, the very program that Hoover had suggested to him is the one that he used to try to pull us out of that thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and he refused to instigate it under Hoover. But he refused to enact it. So he refused to do anything with it. But then after he got to be president, he used Hoover's idea to do what could have been done, oh, maybe 3 or 4 years before, you know, that time. So, and that's another thing. He just, that we can look back there. Now, Franklin D. Roosevelt, when I was growing up, was an icon. He was my role model or
okay.
Whatever, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And when I was a kid, and when my dad died and mother and my mom broke up housekeeping, she still had a picture of Franklin D. Roosevelt hanging on her living room wall that had been there since 1937. And she died when? In 1983 or somewhere there.
Uh-huh.
And she still had this picture. Now, that was the way people felt about Franklin D. Roosevelt during his tour of office. But he was about the most communist piece of garbage that ever was in the White House.
You're talking about FDR?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Right.
He was a closet communist.
He was. He was just a flat socialist. That's
uh-huh.
all he was.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah. And, but people don't know this. They give him credit for pulling us out of the Depression.
Yeah.
But he didn't do it. World War II done that when, all of those programs that he, enacted by executive order didn't do anything for us except, send us a few bucks that he borrowed from the Federal Reserve Bank. And that was something else that those people that was getting those $19 checks every month back during the Depression.
Wow.
They didn't know that every dime of it was borrowed money that the government had borrowed from the Federal Reserve Bank. And that's what put this country in debt the way it is right now. But it's also the reason why they can print up all of this money. You know, it's part of the New World Order, part of that one world government and all of that stuff. So.
Well, I see here it's a proclamation from the governor of Minnesota, dated March 8, 1933. He said, it's a proclamation once again. He says, whereas the United States of America is in the greatest economic crisis in its history, and whereas the social and economic order, which has prevailed in the past, is unable to cope with the emergency, and whereas Franklin D. Roosevelt, the President of the United States, is desirous of and is seeking to bring about a new order, consistent with the fundamentals of our Constitution, and whereas the Constitution of the United States and our form of government is subject to such interpretation and change as well as create a new order, giving to each citizen a measure of economic security, and whereas in the creation of that new order, it is necessary for all citizens to act in unison and to support the President of the United States in his endeavors, now therefore I, Floyd B. Olson, Governor of Minnesota, do hereby earnestly request and urge every citizen of this state and of the United States to join with the President of the United States in his endeavor to bring about a new order, governmentality, socially and economically, which will make for greater social and economic security and for the people of this country, and which will better enable them to attain that happiness recognized as their inalienable right in the Declaration of Independence. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, now that Roosevelt called it a New Deal.
Right.
And it was, absolutely, because that's where Congress lost its authority, lost its power,
mm-hmm.
and it's where the president gained all of the power he's got. because right now, I mean, never before in the Constitution and the article that gives the president his position, his authority, there's only six things that the president has authority to do other than to supervise the administration. But as far as passing laws, they've done it ever since they've been a president, I guess. But these executive orders, according to the Constitution, do not have the weight of law. They're not law.
Uh-huh.
And they can only pertain to the people who work directly for the president, his administration. As far as being national law or something like this, they are not and never have been, and because the president didn't have authority to do that according to the Constitution. It's illegal. In the Constitution, it states, I don't remember the article or what, but it states that any law, any statute that these people pass that is contrary to the national Constitution is not a law. I don't care who passes it, Congress or whoever.
Uh-huh.
Because if it doesn't go along with the Constitution, if it doesn't fit into the Constitution, which is supposed to be our supreme law. But now they say that the treaties that this government signed is takes precedence over the Constitution, and
right.
They are the supreme law. And this is something else that's coming up. That's why that's the way they can take your property without any problem at all. They can use this powers of eminent domain to grab whatever they want, and nobody's really got any authority to do anything about it right now. And that's what I was doing when you called. I'm studying up on this land patents and this allodial law.
Uh-huh.
Property law, that's the way the nation was founded, or the way it was supposedly founded. And I have some information here that says, you know, it's a book about 500 pages long that tells us about these land patents, that real property, any property, whatever, that a person owned, nobody else had any claim on it, nor could they tax it, nor could they do anything with it. Because that person, it was called what they call the allodial law. And allodial means, of course, supreme ownership. It's a Latin word that means supreme ownership. That I'm studying up on this thing to find out if it can be done, if you can, because I do know that the land patent is, in this country, is the supreme title to property, to land. And if you get that land patent and get it updated, why then the local politicians, the state, and none of them have any connection to it. They can't assess anything against it. It's free from assessments, from levies and all different kind of things.
Uh-huh.
And all of my life I've wondered, when my dad paid his taxes, his property taxes, and I wondered, well, now, why do we have to pay every year for the privilege of living in a house that we own?
Yeah.
That's ours.
Yeah. That's insane.
Yeah.
And most people accept it.
Yep. Well, that's what happened. They just accepted it and didn't do anything about it. And they accepted it on the basis of this education system, the free, that we're going to tax your property so that we can build schools to send your kids and educate your kids.
In the government schools.
Yeah, in a government school.
Which is insanity today.
Yep. And this...
Nothing short of...
Yeah, this education is supposed to be free, but it's the most expensive thing we as taxpayers in this country paying for.
Yes?
Yep, it sure is. And they still don't get educated.
Actually, they get educated into a U.N. system.
Yeah, well, that's it, see? But they're so... as far as being able to read and write and think for themselves, they don't know how, Chris.
Very true. Very sad and true.
Oh, yeah, it is.
And trying to uncover this to the typical person that doesn't really want to know, oh, boy.
Well, you're not going to explain it to anybody that don't want to know. They won't listen. They'll change the subject or they'll just walk off.
Yeah.
And won't, I've had people bring up these subjects, and then it didn't take but just a minute listening to him to know that what he was trying to do was just draw me into an argument.
Well, and certainly we have things going on that there are certain people in Congress. Ron Paul, he's introduced H.R. 1148. Wants to abolish the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve System. It doesn't go anywhere.
No, it always fails. It's like I tell people, they start saying, well, I'm going to court with this one. I say, it won't be any sense, because you're not going to get anywhere.
Uh-huh.
We're not going to win this battle through the courts. I just can't see that, because the courts are a part of this mess.
That's right.
And they're not going to go against the system. If you get pulled into court, you better have the goods. You better be able to put up a very convincing argument, or you're going to lose.
Yeah, and maybe be incarcerated.
Yeah,
depending on the situation.
Oh, I'm in contact with people right now that have been incarcerated because they went to court and tried to defend themselves and didn't know how.
Uh-huh.
And, they had a lawyer sitting over there that was smarter than they were, and they thought, well, I mean, justice will prevail, so I'll go in there and just argue the justice of this thing. But that's not the point of law in a court anymore. That's not what they're looking for. And they're just looking to give the courts more power, and they're doing it.
Yeah.
Well,
that's a serious situation that we have. And now, with what's being directed at us, property is being taken away under certain dictates, and it all seems to come under the guise of something called Agenda 21 today.
Yeah, there's Agenda 21. I've got a copy of that thing that I've read.
When did you first become knowledgeable about Agenda 21?
A series of meetings that was being held here, some people from all over the country.
When was this?
Oh, about, I'd say about 8-10 years ago. I don't remember the exact date.
Uh-huh.
But it's about 8-10 years ago, and I learned about this Agenda 21, and I began to wonder what it was all about. And I don't know if it's still on a computer, but that's where I got my copy, was right off the computer.
Uh-huh.
And you can get it. It's freedom.com. Log on to www.freedom.com.
Uh-huh.
And if that website's still there, I haven't logged on to it for a couple of years, because I got just about everything I could off of it.
This is regarding Agenda 21?
Yeah.
Well, they can get it off my website now.
Yeah. But that Agenda 21 is, that's what that is. I mean, well, you know what it is, but...
Tell the listeners.
Yeah, that's the agenda for the United Nations for the 21st century. That's what they're trying to enact here. That's what they're trying, and it will be the law of the world if they ever get it enacted, and it's supposed to happen next year.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was supposed to happen in 2000, but they didn't quite cow the United States of America down that much, and I hope they still haven't.
All the government agencies are implementing Agenda 21 today.
Yeah.
All our government agencies. We're the spearheader. We're the leader of Agenda 21 in the world.
Absolutely. That's right.
Uh-huh.
Now, they have got such a thing as what they call a local Agenda 21.
LA 21.
Yeah. And that's what that is the local, is the program for the local areas. Like this right here, see, they've got this in this valley here. They've implemented through these NGOs what they call Local Agenda 21.
Uh-huh.
And they're enacting these rules and whatever have you, these permit things and all, and it's got to the point right here in Swartz County. And I believe I mentioned this before, that there's 3,200 square miles of territory in Swartz County where I live here, and less than 6,000 people. So you can see we need this permit thing about like we need a hole in our head.
Yeah.
With 6 square miles of territory for every man, woman, and child in this county, just what kind of control do you need? And so... but they're trying to enact all of this stuff, these NGOs. But that's the reason why that we're having so much trouble here, and why we're there, our property is being threatened right now, our homes and everything, is because of this local Agenda 21 that these NGOs are, and they are focusing on Swartz County, because it is the largest county area-wise in this valley. And the smallest population-wise.
Uh-huh.
And so they don't have too much opposition here, you see.
There you go. Easier to implement that way.
Yeah.
Get it started somewhere and then carry on.
Yep, that's it. And it'll just spread all over. And, yeah, they just, well, it was a big rigging could do about the Taylor Ranch down south of me here. Oh, it's about 75 or 80 miles south.
Yeah.
Yeah, and but there's a big to do about that. There's some Eastern millionaire that's come in here and bought that property, and he is opening it up for the original treaty that was with the original land grant. Granted, this Spanish guy and his offspring, for as long as there was any of them alive, access to that property. I mean, it's supposed to belong to them for as long as... But now they've turned it into a ranch, and the owner, prior to this one, he fenced it off and locked the gate. He wouldn't let nobody in there.
Uh-huh.
And but now there's somebody else bought it, and he's opened the gates all of a sudden, and he's letting everybody in there. And they claim that they went to court and won this thing, but I don't believe it. I think this is just another step toward this implementing this Agenda 21 right here in this valley.
Listen, I have a shortwave broadcast I do on Tuesday and Thursday at 3 o'clock Central Time.
Uh-huh.
Are you able to come on this week to do some of that?
Yeah, is that 3 o'clock Central?
Yeah, that'll be tomorrow at 3 o'clock Central. Will you be able to come on to that show?
Yeah, I'll be around.
Okay.
I'll make sure I am, Chris.
Let's plan on doing that, and we should be about to hit a commercial pause here, so let's continue on the other side with your thoughts about this Agenda 21 direction, and we'll plan on having you with us tomorrow at 3 p.m. Central on the shortwave broadcast on WBCQ.
Oh, okay.
We'll be back with Ira. Once again, listeners, stay with us, and we'll get into this deep direction of Agenda 21 in the remaining moments of this broadcast.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
This program on FirstAmendmentRadio.com is much more than entertainment. It is more like an information-packed audio magazine delivered direct to you. Like any magazine, if you don't want to keep getting it, simply unsubscribe by not listening. But you are listening, so now go to FirstAmendmentRadio.com on the Internet and follow the instructions there to make a donation or subscribe to your favorite program. Not only should you subscribe for yourself, but you should give extra to help us spread the message of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Don't do Internet? You can also write us, First Amendment Radio, 139 East Tulare Avenue, that's T-U-L-A-R-E Avenue, in Tulare, California, 93274. 139 East Tulare Avenue, that's T-U-L-A-R-E Avenue, in Tulare, California, T-U-L-A-R-E, California, 93274. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Pam Stegner. Do you want to garden organically, obtain insect control naturally, or care for your pet without harsh chemicals? Biozyme products by Heartland Enterprises are a special blend of living microorganisms and organic substances, providing safe and cost-effective all-natural solutions for the agricultural industry, your home, garden, and lawn care. Organic solutions for lagoons and ponds, even for animals, Biozyme is effective prevention of West Nile disease for both humans and animals. Protect your family from damaging chemicals and disease. Order Biozyme today. Call Heartland Enterprises at 785-628-6435. That's 785-628-6435 or on the web at www.biozymeag.com. That's www.biozymeag.com.
If you can hear my voice, you are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. If you would like to continue hearing these programs, there are several ways that you can help. One, you can make a donation or subscribe to your favorite program by going to FirstAmendmentRadio.com on the Internet and follow the instructions there. Two, you can sponsor your favorite program with your business advertising dollars or spend your dollars with those businesses that advertise on your favorite programs. Three, simply call in on live programs and tell them that you are listening on FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Now anyone can do that one. You can find the call-in numbers on our schedule pages at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. And finally, you can call 559-733-5002 and leave your name and address, and we will send you a support pack. Thank you for listening.
Back with the broadcast, and Ira's going to be with me tomorrow on the Discount Gold and Silver Hour, Melody Cedarstrom, and that'll be tomorrow at 3 p.m. Central Time on WBCQ 7.415. As you recognized Agenda 21 some years ago, you noticed it was 40 chapters of directions to totally control mankind, didn't you?
Absolutely, yeah. And I got interested in it and wanted to find out just exactly what it did say. Now, we had a speaker at that meeting I was telling you about that where I got introduced to Agenda 21.
Uh-huh.
And I talked to him after the meeting and about this. And, of course, I got information from him. And then he told me about this website where I could go and get the copy of this. And I came home and turned on my computer and copied the thing off and filed it away.
Uh-huh.
And, so that I'd be sure and have it. It wouldn't. And since then, I've studied it, I've read it, and it's just exactly what we was taught back yonder that how the people were treated in Russia and the USSR. That's about the lines it goes along, and except this thing, takes in the whole world. It's not just some superpower someplace, but the only superpower will be in New York at the headquarters for the United Nations. That's where it'll be.
Mm-hmm.
I've got people that says, well, the United Nations is never going to be a world government, but it already is.
There you have it.
Yeah. And the only thing they have to do now is just to enact all of their Agenda 21, and we're under the United Nations, not the United States.
And the State Department implements the U.S. mission to the United Nations.
Yeah, they follow this Agenda 21, the State Department. Yeah. This is the law for our State Department right now. If they they're going to do something, why? They look to see just what it is, and as far as Agenda 21, and they implement it. That's this whole. Thing over in Iraq and in that area over there, that Mideast thing.
Right.
That's all right under this. It comes under the Agenda 21. That's a part of it, part of the New World Order. Oregon's setting up the New World Order.
They weren't implementing any of that, Iran and Iraq, and that's partially why we're there, I'm sure.
That's why we're there. That's why we're... And all we're yelling, we're going to turn Iraq into a democracy.
Yeah.
Well, now, the
democracy?
Saddam Hussein was the only one of the Arab rulers in that part of the world that didn't turn his resources over to the United Nations.
Uh-huh.
He was the only one, and that's what we're doing in Iraq right now, is getting people in office that will follow the program and will abide by the system, because Saddam Hussein wouldn't do it. Now, I'm like everybody else. I know that he was a gutter bum and all of that bunch,
uh-huh.
that thing, but... as far as Iraq was concerned and his nation over there, he was just wanting to keep it independent. So,
sovereignty is being eradicated in the Middle East right now, isn't
that's
it?
That's right. Yeah,
and
that's the reason why they're hollering about that about Iran. They're gonna.
Yeah, they're gonna do Iran too.
Yeah, they'll do that too. They sure will.
And where's the money gonna come from?
I don't know.
Isn't that crazy?
Well, you know, they've got a system now, though, that that's what this Federal Reserve is all about, is, you see, the Federal Reserve, the U.S. government doesn't have anything to support this money that they're getting, but the Federal Reserve Bank and that World Bank does, and that International Monetary Fund, and all of that's working together, see, and they do have something to support all of this, and so because they have the world's resources right there in that International Monetary Fund and the World Bank.
Did you know that our Secretary of the Treasury is the U.S. Governor of the IMF?
Yeah, I knew that.
And isn't that just something that people should know?
Yeah, but did you know that there is no such thing as a Treasury Department in the U.S. government anymore?
I believe that.
Yeah, it's what Treasury Department is a collection agency for the
IMF.
Yep. And
the IRS is the same thing.
And they take their orders right direct from the Federal Reserve Bank.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Alan Greenspan.
And Alan Greenspan is a big promoter of Global Vision, part of Agenda 21.
That's right. He sure is.
Along with Mikhail Gorbachev, Ted Turner, George Soros, etc.
Yep. Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even...
George Bush, all of those guys, they're promoting Agenda 21. Now, George Bush Sr., George H.W. Bush, the old man,
yeah.
he mentioned this New World Order and started promoting this thing in the last couple of years of his presidency back in 1990. And he's the first president that mentioned it.
Mm-hmm.
And prior to that time, nobody knew anything about the New World Order, or were just a few of us, like maybe you and I, people that just looked into this thing and to find out about it, you know. But
right.
The average person out here didn't know anything about any New World Order
mm-hmm.
until George H.W. Bush mentioned it.
Yes, and he said, we will be successful.
That's right. That's what he said.
And here we have young people with no direction from high school joining the military, thinking it's the proper thing to do for their future, and all they are, UN lackeys.
Well, you know, I've said before that when I joined the military way back there, it was a good job. I have to say that.
Uh-huh.
And the reason I joined it in the first place, there just wasn't too much to do outside. I mean, the jobs out of the military was kind of hard to find. And I was about, when I joined the Air Force, actually, I was about to get cut off of the job I was working on.
Uh-huh.
And because the company was going out of business at that particular area there, they were closing down. And somebody gave a figure of 144,000 people that would be out of job, out of work. And so instead of waiting for to get cut off, because I only had a little over 3 years with the company,
uh-huh.
and I knew I was going to be one of the first ones to go. And when this layoff started, So instead of that, I went and joined the Air Force. Instead of waiting for that, I joined the Air Force.
Yes.
And it was about 3 months after I joined the Air Force, I went back, and my brother had been working for the same company, and he had been cut off, and he was on unemployment at the time, and I took him to town to the employment office to get his weekly handout there.
Yeah.
And we got to that place at, it was about a little after 7 o'clock in the morning, hopefully to get there first. And, Chris, there was a triple line all the way around that block waiting to get in there to draw those unemployment checks.
Back then?
Back that, yeah. This was back in... 1949, I guess.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And
I can't imagine what it's like today.
Oh, mercy. Yeah.
You know?
Just gets worse and worse as time goes on.
Here we're a victim of, and certainly the GATT was formed in 1947 officially.
Yeah.
Or unofficially, I guess.
Well, that's when that National Defense Act was passed, was in 1947.
Uh-huh.
And that's what... prior to that time, the Air Force was the Army Air Corps. We had no Air Force as such.
Right.
But it was the Army Air Corps. And, when they passed that National Defense Act and set up the Department of Defense and, enacted that Marshall Plan that, has got us in a mess here of supporting the whole world.
That was another closet communist, George Marshall.
Tell me, he was a five-star general in the U.S. Army, but...
a closet communist.
Yeah. Yeah, but he was also the Secretary of State under Truman there.
Right,
for a while.
Right.
Yeah. And that's when he set up this Marshall Plan, that they called it. So.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and...
Much was implemented during the late 40s, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, there was quite a bit. And really, that's when the United Nations come into its own. Actually, it was in 1950 when Harry Truman gathered up the American military and sent them to Korea without first asking Congress permission.
Which you were a part of.
I was a part of that, yeah.
What was your part in that mess?
In that war?
Yeah.
Well, I had volunteered, which I felt there'd be a lot of promotions in it, but I had volunteered for what they called a security reconnaissance school. And they sent me to this school, and I went to Korea, and I commanded a security guard detachment for a year over in that war, yeah. And we rode freight trains. That was our primary job.
Security?
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
We lost 54,000 in a little over 2.5 years.
Oh, yeah. It was...
That was a death toll that was terrible.
Yep. So,
54,000 in 2.5 years. I mean, and yet it was under the United Nations. And, yeah. And even when bones were brought back in coffins during the Clinton administration, they were draped in UN flags, and Al Gore said they gave their best for the United Nations. I mean, gee.
Yeah.
And yet they don't tell us that Vietnam was the same way.
Well, we know that Vietnam was exactly what it was. It was a no-win situation over there from the very beginning. We wasn't supposed to win that war there, Chris.
And so the conclusion of the Second World War brought into the draft, brought about the all-volunteer military. Which,
at the end of the Second World War, that didn't end the draft.
No, I mean at the end of the Vietnam War.
Oh, at the end of the Vietnam War.
Yeah, at the end of the Vietnam War brought about the all-volunteer military in 1973.
Yeah, Richard Nixon, really, I think that's the only good thing he done the whole time he was in office. And the only right thing he did was one thing, even though I didn't care for his methods of getting us out of Vietnam.
No.
But as far as getting us out of there, that was proper. That was the thing to do. I didn't care for the way he did it.
But we didn't supply the South Vietnamese with the weaponry they needed to defend themselves.
No.
So we gave the North Vietnamese the war.
We just gave it to them, yeah. Just turned it right over to them.
And so it fell in the end of April of 1975.
Yeah. Of course, that was supposed to happen. That was, and what it did, it kind of... knocked the props out from under the United States. It prior to that time, up to that time, we were pretty well known and kind of pretty well respected around over the world until that Vietnam thing.
Mm-hmm.
But now, of course, I've been in nations myself where I was... because after I come out of Korea, I had assignments that sent me to embassies all over the world. And I've been in places and a lot of places where people carrying signs, a Yankee go home and all that stuff.
And uh-huh.
They didn't really want us there, but we were there anyhow, and we were there against our will and theirs too, really. So,
well, now we have our military in the Middle East. And...
Yep.
We're doing the work of the UN system, even though they call it the coalition now. We're doing the work of the UN system, and they're harping, the UN system is, they're harping about Iraq's sovereignty, meaning they need to keep Iraq's sovereignty in place. But that's all window dressing for the population of the world, isn't it?
That's it. That's all it is, yeah.
There's no sovereignty being created over there, is
no,
there?
And they won't be, because they'll be will... We'll have troops in Iraq for the next...
20,000 years.
Yeah. yeah, there'll be American troops in Iraq for, I guess, until, the resurrection or whatever.
So after this election process in 2005, they're going to reenact the draft, more than likely.
Well, now, that's a story that's going right now. That's that hope of Congress. That's what people are... actually, the administration, the Department of Defense, and a few of the other departments in the administration is yelling for the draft, you see.
Uh-huh.
Because they don't have the troops. And the reason they don't have them is because the last account I had, which was about 2 years ago, and I hadn't checked it since, there was 189 nations in the world, and we had troops in 141 of them.
Yeah.
So, you see, that's We're spread so thin all over the world, Krista. We just don't. We haven't got nobody to defend this nation. We'd have to do it ourselves if we ever got hit. There wouldn't be no troops here.
Whatever happens here will be by design. Anyway,
that's right.
Anyway, those in charge will want that to happen. Although, the way I see it, with the NGO process in place, everything's happening so incrementally all over the country.
That's right, and that's just another part of Agenda 21. That's what it is.
There it is.
Yeah, to take the heart out of America and put us under the United Nations.
Yeah.
And, yep, and then they've got plans for this nation, for this continent.
To turn it into a personal park for the prince.
Yep. Everything from west of the Mississippi, the Mississippi River, is supposed to become an international park. That's the plan.
Yeah.
And that means that everybody east of the Mississippi is going to lose their property and be shipped back east to these...
sustainable communities.
Yep, right.
And there we have it.
Yep.
Isn't that just something that we'd like to tell the world and get the prominence on radio and television to tell the world?
Oh, tell me about it. If I could afford it, I'd buy time on some TV channel just to do this, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, for that purpose, to let people know what this Agenda 21 really is, because it's no good for us, that's for sure.
It's a plan, and it's a long-term plan for the whole century that we're in right now.
That's right, it sure is.
And slowly but surely, it's going to be implemented whether we like it or not, and that's the reason why we have to get so many people on board to understand what it's about, but most don't want to hear about it.
That's right, and we're running out of time. We can't, because this thing is coming up, and if we wait until they get this thing implemented and they start implementing the provisions of it in the things that they haven't even dared do yet.
Uh-huh.
But once the United States loses it, as soon as we lose our sovereignty and the United Nations takes over and begins to control this, there'll be foreign troops right here in the United States, probably in every state in the Union, and they'll be United Nations troops to control the population and to move us around anywhere they want us to go. That's the way it'll be.
Now the Sunset Clause is supposed to end on September 13th through the Brady Act, or I forgot what it was called, but the assault weapons ban, supposedly, is going to end on September 13th. Don't you think something's going to be created between now and then to make that stay in place?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to let it lapse.
They're going to keep this thing in place, and they're going to continue to go after our firearms.
Yep, they sure will.
And they're going to make it to a point where we'll have a grace period to turn in our weapons. We'll get compensated a certain amount for our weapons. And if we don't comply with that direction, we'll be declared felons, won't we?
Yep. The declared enemies of the United Nations, really.
Yeah.
Because they'll call us enemies of the state. They already do, you know. This was something that, another thing that Franklin D. Roosevelt done. He declared all of the people in the United States enemies of the state.
Yeah.
And that's why they've kept this war economy going for all these years, and they're using us, the people in this country, for collateral to borrow all this money they're getting. That's where the birth certificate, see, nobody had a birth certificate in this country until 1921.
Uh-huh.
That's when it was enacted, and when people started having to register their kids when they were born.
Yeah.
And all of the other people that were already walking around had to go and get a birth certificate and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And
here we are moving slowly but surely into a service economy when our industry's been shipped below the border and overseas.
That's right.
So we couldn't even possibly handle a war.
Well, that's the whole purpose for it, you see. Now, they remember World War II and also World War I, both world wars. That was, to me, the one purpose of those two wars was to check us out, just to see just how aggressive we really could be, you see.
Uh-huh.
And they knew just what we had. And knew that we didn't have anything to fight with because we had disarmed after World War One, and it's like I said, in 1939, when Churchill and Franklin D. Roosevelt got together on that cruiser out there and formed that North Atlantic Pact or whatever it was,
mm-hmm.
and we had 4,000. We had an army. Our army numbered 4,000 people. And by the end of 1940, it was 9 million and was growing.
And so all Franklin D. Roosevelt had to do was engineer a direction to galvanize the people of this country into accepting the war, and that was Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, that's right. That was Pearl Harbor. Now, here's something else that people won't believe, that... you see, this was the beginning of the rise of this Agenda 21. That's really where it all started, where the United Nations started, you see.
Mm-hmm.
They got all these people together, and because the United Nations was formed up in 1942.
Right, January 1st.
Right. And, of course, the UN Charter, we didn't get into it to sign that charter, accept that charter, until 1945.
Officially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But officially, but we was under it all that time.
The Second World War was the United Nations. The Second World War, it was like D-Day. Franklin Delano Roosevelt said D-Day was a United Nations operation. So did Eisenhower.
That's right.
Said D-Day was a UN operation.
Yeah.
And so your research... coming from your direction is galvanized into my direction, but we have not talked until recently. We do not know each other, but the point is your research is exactly what my research is, which says that we're spot on with what we do.
Yeah, that's right. Now, and there's other folks, there's other people around,
yes,
that have the same information that you and I do, but we're so few of us until that will admit all of this, Chris, until... there's not enough of us to help anything. We're going to have to get a lot of other people.
We're going to have to figure out a way to get people galvanized into Agenda 21 because this is what's being done now.
That's right. That's exactly what's being implemented, and if we allow them to get by with it, we're lost.
We're just about out of time, and you'll be with me tomorrow on the shortwave broadcast at 3 o'clock Central Time.
Okay.
On WBCQ 7.415. That'll be tomorrow at 3 p.m. Central. And once again, we're open for directions for how to spread this information far and wide, listeners. This is not just him and I discussing this. This is about our country. It's about our survival, isn't it?
That's right.
Our survival is in peril in this world of Agenda 21. And the State Department's implementing it. You can go to their website. You can see the State Department and their sustainable development partnerships, and they have this 12th session of the UN's Commission on Sustainable Development, which was held, and I publicized it on April 19th.
You are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio.